Welcome to the My Money Podcast number 57 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, editor of the Help Me to Save website, where you'll find tips to help you save money, spend less, and live well. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'm going to summarise three recent articles on the Help Me to Save site. The first one is about an issue I had with trying to do an online internal transfer for my Halifax Cash ISA. The second article I'll summarise is about the House Crowd, one of the many crowdfunding organisations I've seen setting up, and the House Crowd pay 7.5% fixed annual return on your investment. Is this too good to be true? And ending up on a lighter note, asking if you're getting sick of false bottoms. So the first article I'll summarise is about my attempt to set up an online internal Halifax Cash ISA transfer. I currently have a Halifax 4-year fixed rate Cash ISA, paying a very healthy 4.25%. Unfortunately, it matures early next month. Now, I received a letter from the Bank of Scotland rather than Halifax informing me of the impending date of maturity and offering me Bank of Scotland Cash ISAs into which I could transfer my maturing account, but the Bank of Scotland ISAs paid a lower rate of interest in similar Halifax products, which was really annoying. Now, Bank of Scotland and Halifax are both part of the Lloyds Banking Group. I thought that they had already merged into HBOS, Halifax Bank of Scotland. They do seem to work together, but not too closely, because when I went into my local Bank of Scotland, because there aren't any Halifaxes in Scotland or in Berwick-upon-Tweed where we live, it's Bank of Scotland. So they won't do any paperwork for Halifax, although they're supposedly part of the same company. Anyway, leaving that aside, what I had to do was to find a decent cash ISA which I could transfer the maturing funds into. Now, it's a bit of a fiddle with cash ISAs. You must make sure that you do the transfer properly, quite a bit of paperwork sometimes, in order to preserve the tax-free status. Now, not all cash ISA accounts accept transfers. Some of them will only accept money from the current ISA year. So when you're doing your research on the best cash ISA rates, if you're going to be transferring from a maturing account or account you've set up an earlier tax year, you have to make sure that that account will accept transfers. As I say, jolly annoying if you can get a higher rate on an account but it doesn't accept transfers. I think that should be changed. I think cash ISAs should be, the provider should be forced to accept either new money or transfers from other accounts. Now, I was all too aware that I'm not going to get anything like 4.25% when I look for a new cash ISA for the Halifax one that matures next month. Interest rates are pretty low. If you tie your cash ISA up for 5 years, you can get around 3%, just above inflation if you use CPI, still below RPI. However, I thought, no, I'm not tying up for 5 years. 2 or 3 years is long enough. So the best product I could find seemed to be another Halifax Cash ISA for 3 years, which paid 2.5% and did accept transfers. Now, I did notice when I was doing online banking that there was an online internal cash ISA transfer form on the Halifax website. It said that the account needs to be funded within 60 days of opening, so I thought I could fill in the form requesting the transfer on the date of the maturity of my account. And I'd receive the rate of interest which was applicable on the day of maturity of my existing cash ISA account. Now, I wasn't happy about that because what if the Halifax decide to reduce rates a day or two before my current cash ISA matures, that would mean I'd get a lower rate. I don't think that's right. I think if I filled out a transfer form requesting a date that was within 60 days of opening the new fixed rate cash ISA, that I should be guaranteed the rate. So I didn't want to go down that route. I really hate these pig in a poke situations where there are no guarantees of what I'm getting. It's a similar situation with forward pricing on investment funds. When I sell a fund and I want to shift to a different fund in my personal pension, I don't know the price I'm going to get because they use the price in 2 days' time. So I felt that this was similar with the Halifax. I was signing up to transfer my maturing cash ISA into a new cash ISA, which said it had 60 days to be funded, but they weren't going to guarantee the rate. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you have to be careful not to do anything to invalidate the tax-free status of your maturing cash ISA. Because I did think a way around this would be to open a cash ISA, the 3-year fixed rate for 2.5% online, and then when you do that, you can fill in a transfer form. It's not an internal transfer form, but it's an online cash ISA transfer form on the Halifax site, and one of the options in the drop-down menu was Halifax. But as I say, I didn't want to go ahead with that, so I thought I'm going to phone the Halifax and just try and sort this out, see if they'll guarantee me the rates. The 2.5%. Now, my phone call to the Halifax was taken by an extremely helpful customer service rep who confirmed that I could proceed with my desired course of action. She was able to open the new 3-year fixed rate cash ISA account and arrange for the transfer of the maturing fixed rate cash ISA on the maturity date. Now, there's a 14-day cooling off period, so if by any chance interest rates on fixed rate cash ISAs increase over the next week or two, I can cancel that account and go for a higher rate. But I really don't understand why the Halifax online internal cash ISA transfer form can't open a new cash ISA on the day which the form is completed and arrange for the transfer on the date of maturity, which is what I was able to do on the phone, but not online. So I think the Halifax, if you can do it on the phone, they should allow you to do it online. Now, the next article I'll discuss is the house crowd. Now, I recently wrote quite a bit about crowdfunding, and just after I did that research where it's a lot of people pledge money towards a cause, it's hosted on a third party site, and it didn't seem to me to be a very good way of making money. The crowdfunding setups I looked at seemed to offer perks, like a travel blogger was offering $100 of his books on budget travel, and somebody who needed a vehicle for their florist's business was offering to do, if you pledged £1,000, they would do the flowers for your wedding, and there was some other Scottish brewing company who offered you shares, which weren't real shares because you couldn't trade them and you didn't get any dividends, and it was more just like a loyalty club where you got a discount. But the crowdfund, it did catch my attention because they were offering the 7.5% fixed rate annual return. Now, this is called Invest for Income option on the House Crowd site. There's also an Invest for Income Plus option, which offers a 6% income and a share of profits once the property is sold. Now, of course, these returns sound very alluring in the current low interest rate environment, when I'm talking about getting 2.5% on a cash ISA, and they're tax-free, of course, the cash ISA. The 7.5, yeah, you'd have to pay tax on it, but it's still going to be far higher return than I can get in a 3-year cash ISA. Now, I had a good trawl around the House Crowd site, and they state that it's the setup that, well, I'll explain it and see what you think. The House Crowd just provide the administrative support to bring investors together to raise the cash to buy a property. When you invest in this, the cash that you invest isn't held by the House Crowd, but it's used to set up a single purpose vehicle, shortened to SPV, to buy a specific property. If you go for the Invest for Income Plus, you become a shareholder with an interest in the property. With the invest for income, where you get the 7.5% return, you're investing on loan notes to the SPV. Now, the minimum investment for the invest for income plus the 6% plus share of profits is £1,000. Whereas if you want to go for the invest for income with the 7.5% annual return, it's a minimum of investment of £3,000. Now, this setup, you know, house crowd just really kind of, are they a middle person, just the administrators? I don't know, but it's setting up individual companies who buy the house, and then if you get the different types, with the higher rate without the share of profits, it's loan notes to a company. Anyway, after purchase, each individual property is renovated and rented out for income, and the property may be sold at some time in the future. Now, I had a good read through the website and watched a couple of their videos. Now, there was so much talk about how the income paid is way above what you'd receive in a savings account or a cash ISA, and I totally agree with that, it is. And the house crowd was emphasising that the income from them would be an ideal supplement for a pension. There was so much talk about the hassle-free nature of the investment, how you can get involved in the high yields on renting out property without having the hassle of having to locate a property, deal with renovation, find tenants, arrange maintenance. However, if you want to liquidate your investment in the house crowd and are in the Invest for Income Plus option, you can sell your shares at any time, but you'd have to find someone who's willing to buy your shares in the SPV. Or you can request the return of your capital once every 12 months. If you take the Invest for Income option, you can request payment of your capital after 15 months on 3 months' notice. However, the only mention I could spot of risk, that is that your capital isn't guaranteed. If you put your money into a building society, a bank, you need to check that's covered by the financial compensation scheme, in which case up to £85,000 of savings in each individual institution. That if it's Lloyds, if you've got so much in Halifax, so much in Bank of Scotland, you have to watch out for that. But £85,000 per institution is guaranteed. If that firm goes bust, you will be repaid it. Whereas with an investment, you have no guarantee that your capital, your original investment, is going to be protected. Now, the house crowd, very deep in the terms and conditions, they state that you may realise less than your original investment, which is fair enough when you invest, higher risk, higher potential return, but no guarantee of capital. But at the same time, on their website, they're comparing the rate of return on savings accounts and cash ISAs, where generally your money is guaranteed, so it isn't really a totally fair comparison. Now, it's quite possible that the house crowd can easily meet the promised returns, their 6% or their 7.5%, if properties are purchased at low prices, don't need too much maintenance, and have a high tenancy rate. But you have to be aware that there's not that much point in getting a high rate of return on your investment if your original investment loses value. So, yeah, it does sound alluring, but just be aware it is an investment which is higher risk and your capital isn't guaranteed. Now, as I promised, ending on a light note and asking, are you sick of false bottoms? Well, I mean in packaging. I recently bought some cocoa skin therapy oil, and there was such a difference in the size of the bottle and the size of the packaging. And the reason behind this disparity was the false bottom, which was about an inch or something in the bottom of the packaging. Now, there are just so many examples of this misleading practice making shoppers think they're getting more for their cash. I suppose the manufacturers would argue that if their competitors do it, they need to do it too, or they might lose out on sales by customers wrongly assuming that the larger packaging from a competitor held more product. Now, I've also noticed at the supermarket, Tesco, I'm sure they're all at it, the shrinking weights. where the standard weight or volume of a product is reduced, where the size of a cheese block is gradually getting reduced to be 250, or then it went down to 200, or the 500 ones, now often 400 or 350 for the same price or higher. What you think is a 1 liter of fruit juice, actually it's 900 milliliters, and shampoos going up in price, but the bottle getting smaller. It just really underlines that you have to check the weight and volume when buying any product, and if you're rushing around the supermarket, you're quite likely not to bother. So do keep an eye out for these misleading false bottoms. So thanks very much for listening to this edition of the My Money podcast. Do join us again soon. You can read all our articles in full on www.helpmetosave.com. You can subscribe to our free monthly newsletter and also subscribe to our podcasts in iTunes. Goodbye.